Plavagha Indra Sanyai. With the help of the soldiers of the monkeys. Velam, to the beach of the ocean. Agat went. Sa, he, Lord Ramchandra. Manuja, appearing as a human being. Aja, by Lord Brahma. Bhava, and by Lord Shiva. Archita Angrihi, whose lotus feet are worshipped. Translation. Lord Ramchandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kadamba, and after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing Vali, and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. Please repeat. Lord Ramchandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kabanda, and after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing Vali, and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Ravana kidnapped Sita, he was obstructed on the way by Jatayu, a large bird. But the powerful Ravana defeated Jatayu in the fight and cut his wing. When Ramchandra was searching for Sita, he found Jatayu almost dead and was informed that Sita had been carried off by Ravana. When Jatayu died, Lord Ramchandra did the duty of a son by performing the funeral ceremony, and then he made friends with the monkeys to deliver Sita Devi. Om Jnanata Madandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksuvan Militam Yenatasmai Sri Gurudev Maha Mukam Karoti Vachilam Pandum Lam Jayate Girin Yakripatamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinitarino Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vahevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I pray that the Vaishnavas will give me their blessings, that I'll be able to speak something nice from this wonderful section of the Srimad Bhagavatam about the glorious pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. The beginning of this reminds me of a wonderful verse elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayo, that the process of devotional service begins with fixing our mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. So here we see this is what's encouraged here. Now, Sukadeva Goswami, he points out how very important, most important, topmost, highest personalities in the universe, such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, are worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. This is their activity. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are very highly positioned demigods. They're the topmost in the realm of demigods, if you will. Many people, particularly such as in Bengal, this time of year, they engage in the worship of different demigods. And some of them mistakenly accept these demigods as the supreme. I mean, after all, Lord Brahma, he was conceived without the assistance of Lakshmi Devi. That's a pretty amazing action that sets one apart from the regular human beings. And he was born not from the womb, but from the stem of a lotus flower. So equally amazing activity. Most of us are born in a different kind of a scenario. All of us, every one of us sitting here. And it's not quite so amazing. The lotus flower opens up so beautifully, and there's Lord Brahma in the middle. A little different arrangement. And aside from that, he's the creator of the entire universe. Everything that is here, everything that we deal with, that we interact with, the difference, it's all created by his potency. So very highly advanced, worshipable personality. Lord Shiva, like Lord Brahma, has no mother involved in the process, if you will. He was born from the mind of Lord Brahma. So here again, a very amazing birth, not through the seminal womb process that we're familiar with. And destroyer of the entire universe. When the time of destruction comes, he's called upon to play upon his din-din drum and do his dance of destruction, and the fire begins to emanate. We've seen that wonderful picture from the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. And the fire begins to emanate and just destroy everything. So these are two very, very highly placed demigods that are mentioned here. Yet, Narottam Das Thakur, in his Prem Bhakti Chandrika, he very specifically says that we shouldn't make no pay attention to these demigods. Second chapter, first verse, he says, I will worship the Lord with my body and my mind, giving up the desires for fruitive activities and mental speculation. I will serve Lord Krishna in the association of devotees without worshipping other demigods. This is the topmost process of devotional service. So he's not encouraging that we worship these demigods. So how do we respect these demigods, yet we don't acknowledge that they should be worshipped like this? So in the next verse, Prem Bhakti Chandrika continues, Narottam says, I will carefully consider and follow the path displayed by the previous acharyas and present Mahajans. So previous and present acharyas and Mahajans. This holds the key to how to understand this. Srila Narottam Das Thakur takes away the idea of worshipping demigods, because at the time he had his manifest pastimes in Bengal, demigod worship was extremely prominent, and many different offshoots of the traditional Vaishnava philosophy had developed from this worship of demigods. So he very strongly, throughout Prem Bhakti Chandrika, repeatedly he preaches against this worship of the demigods. Yet then in that following verse, he shows us how to properly understand that we can place these demigods in a position of worship, particularly referenced here in this verse by Sukadev Goswami, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva. I mean, Lord Brahma is the first person to hear the Gayatri Mantra. And Gayatri Mantra, some of the Brahmins recite three times daily, every day. So the first person to hear that was Lord Brahma, very elevated. Lord Brahma is the first person to begin the process of disseminating Vedic knowledge. He sends it out throughout all the rest of the manushya, as the verse says, the mankind. And, of course, he is the head of our particular sampradaya. So all of these things, therefore, qualify him as worshipable. Not simply that he's a demigod, but that he is in connection to Krishna. Therefore, we find with Lord Shiva also the same thing. He heads up his own sampradaya, the Rudra sampradaya. He is the known protector of all of the Lord's dhams, particularly in Vrindavan dham. You have Chakaleshwar Mahadev, you have Gopeshwar Mahadev, you have Nandeshwar Mahadev, you have Rudreshwar Mahadev, four very prominent personalities of Lord Shiva that protect the dham from any difficulty. And any time a devotee wants entrance into that mood of the Dham, they always pray to Lord Shiva for helping develop that and removing that, because he holds that. And so allows the devotee to appreciate the mood of the Braja Bhav, if you will. So this is how we worship. Here it's indicated that they're worshipped, that they're highly respected personalities, that they themselves are worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is how we understand the greatness of a personality such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Narottam explains further that by doing this, he gives a very nice explanation here. I like the way he says this. He says, by engaging in this activity, then he concludes, he says, the demigods and the forefathers will become greatly pleased with one and shower them with their blessings, saying, well done, well done. Now, anytime we perform, there's so many children sitting here, and whenever they do something nice in the home, or they do their chores nicely, or, you know, make some attempt at drawing some nice picture like the girls are doing there, or they come forward for Damodara and hold the candle at the altar at home or here at the temple like that, the parents always encourage them, oh, very nicely done, well done. Because the children feel very nourished by this encouragement. And it prompts them, yes, let me do more, because hearing those sweet words from my mother and father encouraging me makes me feel like I should do more. So Narottam Das Thakur explains that by engaging in this type of devotional service, worshiping the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead under the directions of the previous Mahajans, under the directions of the Acharyas, these demigods, these previous Mahajans, become very happy and satisfied by our activity. And they say, well done, well done. They encourage us like that. So this is very, very wonderful. The devotee always wants the blessings of their seniors, of the powerful spiritual personalities. And so in this way, we see that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva recited at the very beginning of this verse. Sukadeva Goswami mentions that the lotus feet of the Lord, and specifically the Lord that they're worshipping, mentioned here is Lord Ramchandra. Lord Ramchandra, who has assumed the form of a human being. The amazing thing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead is when he manifests his pastimes, he appears in a form that is just suitable for the particular need of that incarnation, such as when the earth was offset from its axis by Hiranyaksha and fell into the Garbha ocean, he appeared as Lord Vraha, specifically for the purpose that the Vraha, the boar incarnation, has these tusks. And the tusks are very expertly used by the boar to get down into some mucky situation and root out the roots that a regular common boar is looking for with those tusks. They dig everything up like that. So this was the perfect means for the Lord to extract the earth planet from the muck of the Garbha ocean where it sunk. In the same way, Nrisimhadeva, when Hiranyakasipu, Hiranyaksha's brother, had caused so much difficulty and received such an amazing benediction from Lord Brahma. Actually, this one class Prabhupada says, I remember this great fondly, that Prabhupada tells how after killing Hiranyakasipu, Nrisimhadeva chastised Lord Brahma. Don't ever give a benediction like this again. You made it very difficult for me. I had to think, okay, not like this, but like this, and, you know. So, not that anything is difficult for the Lord. But at any rate, such an arrangement had to be made. So the Lord appeared as Nrisimhadeva, half man, half lion, long fingernails, and ripped apart Hiranyakasipu. So in this way, according to what was needed to disperse with the demon, he manifested like that. And then as Vamana, the famous Jugga of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was a Kshatriya. Who do the Kshatriyas rule everything? So who do they respect? They respect the Brahmanas. And everyone respects a little child dressed nicely and smiling sweetly. So Vamana appeared this way, a small dwarf looking like a little boy as a Brahmin and asking for, oh, please just give me a little something. Who can refuse? So in this way, he appeared like that, and then as Lord Ramchandra. Ravana, you know, Ravana is interesting. He just, oh, a human being. Human beings, they can't die. I'm not worried about them. He was worried about being attacked by all the great demigods and all the great powerful ones. But human beings, no, nothing. I'm not concerned. So Lord Ramchandra appeared as a human being. Lord Ramchandra, as appearing as a human being, one of the primary functions was to set a standard, an example of how a proper human being of dignified character and moral makeup behaves himself and how they act. And in addition, he was able to engage all the monkeys and bears in his service, setting the standard further down the road for Srila Prabhupada to come and likewise engage monkeys and bears in his service. So in this way, we see through all these different incarnations, one of the words describing the Lord is chatura. It means one who's very clever. So this describes how the Lord is able to accomplish these things according to time and circumstance and fulfill a particular need by his activities. Now, in the following sentence, the activity of Jatayu is described. I've seen Jatayu is such an amazing, extraordinary personality. So fortunate. Yet, what is Jatayu? He's a big bird. It's just a bird, you know? But, I mean, even as a bird, he, flying in the sky, tried to approach Ravana, but what was his ability? I mean, how could he actually stop Ravana? He saw that this is Sita, the goddess of fortune, being carried away by Ravana, flying through the sky on this chariot drawn by donkeys. Amazing. So he decided, I must do something. So in this way, he, even though a small bird, tried to attack. So even sometimes birds have certain qualities. I remember there's another lecture, Srila Prabhupada was describing big birds, very big birds. He said there are large birds that fly from one planet to the next, and that in the process of flying, they lay their eggs in the sky, and these eggs, as they enter into the atmosphere, the friction of entering the atmosphere causes them to hatch. So, amazing things. Sometimes Prabhupada would really push the limits of our perception and acceptance of these incredible stories. But Jatayu saw, here is a chance for me to do service. My Lord is not here to protect his consort. Here is a chance. And he chose to do that service, and I noted four things in that service. One, determination. Two, fearlessness. Three, conviction. And four, without hesitation. And in that mood, he went for the service. The opportunity for service was given, and with determination, fearlessness, conviction, and without any hesitation, he immediately attacked it. Attacked both Ravana and attacked the opportunity for the service. So I was thinking, shouldn't this be our mood in devotional service? Shouldn't this be the mood by which we go about our daily activities of devotional service? Determination, fearlessness, conviction, and without any hesitation. This is a means by which we can always be successful in our devotional service. I mean, I was thinking, how much could we accomplish in the execution of devotional service and the mission of Srila Prabhupada if we had these four qualities all the time? Be unlimited. Unlimited. But we see that Jatayu was defeated. He wasn't successful in his devotional service. He failed. Now, you know, we might think, well, you know, at least he tried. And of course, Bhagavad Gita encourages us like that. There's no loss, no diminution in any effort in your devotional service. Krishna says that you're allowed to be attached to the service. You're not allowed to be attached to the result of that service. So there's some service. With great determination, with great conviction, with fearlessness, and without any hesitation, he attacked it. But he wasn't successful. Or was he? He wasn't successful in stopping Ravana. Ravana was a very powerful demon, very strong demon. In the fight, he had his wings cut off. He fell to the ground. What is a bird without his wings? I don't know how many of you have hummingbirds in your yard. I have hummingbirds in my yard. Matter of fact, I planted a particular bush. You'll find this amazing. The bush is called the Gaura, G-A-U-R-A. It's a new plant that they've discovered, and it gives its blooms very easily under very difficult circumstances. And it doesn't require a lot of care. All you have to do is water it a bit. It's like Gaura gives his mercy very easily. It doesn't require a lot. All you've got to do is water with the holy name. So at any rate, these Gaura bushes, they are particularly known for attracting hummingbirds. So when you see these hummingbirds, actually, I have no hummingbirds. If you go to Madhavanti and Sesha's house, they have the source of all hummingbirds in the universe on these two night-blooming jasmines in their front yard. I was standing on their front porch the other night, and I kid you not, I must have counted 30 or 40 hummingbirds just intoxicated with the fragrance and the nectar they were extracting from the ninth blooming jasmine. So now when you look at these hummingbirds, tiny, tiny, tiny little bird, and their wings are flapping, I forget the mathematical calculation, some, you know, 100 gazillion times per second or whatever it is. So you take away their wings and what happens? They can do nothing. So in the same way, Jatayu, this huge big bird, his wings were cut off by Ravana and he fell to the ground. But he was discovered by Lord Ram. What was he able to do? He was able to culminate that devotional service that he attempted. He wasn't able to stop Ravana, but he met Ramchandra and was able to tell Ram the information you're looking for in Sita. She was taken by Ravana to his kingdom. He was able to deliver that message before his dying time. And in that way, his devotional service was completed by the grace of the Lord. And then, this is the amazing thing. What did Lord Ramchandra do? After Jatayu, so to speak, put Ravana at the crime of the scene of the crime, as they say, he was an eyewitness testimony. He pointed out this is what's happened, and then he died, so he completed that. And then Ramchandra performed the funeral ceremony for him. The small and apparently unsuccessful bit of service by Jatayu was so pleasing to the Lord that he performed the funeral ceremony for him. This is how the Lord reciprocates. When we render even a small amount of devotional service, when we show the Lord even a little bit of effort, then in this way, he becomes very satisfied and completely extends his mercy to us, completely extends his blessings to us, his encouragement, just as the Mahajans, well done, so much encouragement like that. Now, this reminded me, this past time of doing the funeral ceremony for his devotee, reminded me of a famous pastime. They're the Ghosh brothers, or as they got called sometimes, the Ghosh boys. Madhava, Vasudev, and Govinda. These three were brothers, and they were the most sublime kirtan singers. Madhava Ghosh was the best of the three. And it was like his voice was gold personified when he would sing. And so they lived in, they were born here and there and lived in this, but eventually they came to reside in Navadvip. And once Mahaprabhu took sannyas, they would go every year to the Rath Yatra and partake of the Rath Yatra festival, and they would be three of the main kirtan leaders for Mahaprabhu's Rath Yatra pastimes. So one time, Lord Chaitanya was preparing to leave Navadvip and go to Vrindavan. And Govinda Ghosh was there. Madhava and Vasudev weren't there at this point, or at this particular time. And so the Lord had taken prasad, and after prasad, he wanted some haritaki. Haritaki is like a mouth freshener. You take it afterwards too. It's a type of a fruit kind of thing. So there wasn't any around. So Govinda quickly ran about and went to the market and found some. He didn't just buy enough for then. He thought, well, you know, we're traveling, Lord Chaitanya might want a bunch, so he bought a lot. So they came back, and he gave to Mahaprabhu what he wanted. Mahaprabhu made an interesting observation. He said, Govinda, now this is as they're beginning to travel. He said, Govinda, he said, I can see that you like to collect and save things. He said, therefore, probably better you stay here and become pujari. Now, those of you that have ever stepped into our pujari quarters here know the nature of Mother Nitai Priya. In every little cabinet, she has 6,000 ghee lamps here, and 3,300 ghee wicks over here, and 4 bags of cotton swabs over here, and 63 bottles of rose water over here, and 294 boxes of incense up here. And every cabinet's got something stashed in it because it's needed for the service of the Lord. And this is how Govinda was thinking, but a traveling mendicant has no backpack, has no bullock cart, has no cabinets everywhere, so they just take in madukari. Whatever comes, they take. Whatever's not there, they don't take, and then they go on till the next day. So Mahaprabhu observed this. He said, Govinda, you stay. Now this deity he asked him to stay was the deity of Gopinath. And the deity of Gopinath is very amazing. Because one day Govinda Ghosh was taking bath in the river. And he felt this log bump into him. It was early in the morning, a little dark. He didn't see clearly. felt this log bump. So he took it and set it onto the shore. Turns out that it was a large Sheila that was floating in the river somehow. So that night in a dream, the Lord appeared to him and told him, I will send a sculptor, and you engage him in carving the Sheila into the deity of Gopinath. So this was the deity that Govinda Ghosh stayed and worshipped. Now Govinda Ghosh, in due course of time, got married, had one son, and in more due course of time, both the wife and the son passed away prematurely. Gopinath was left with nothing. He was, first the wife passed away, then the son passed away, and at the passing of the son, he was so morose, so despondent, he couldn't continue his service. He would just sit all day and chanting, and the deity finally said to him, Govinda, you're not feeding me. He said, I'm so distraught. He said, you've lost one son, what do you want to lose another by not feeding me? So he said, all right. He said, my concern isn't simply that I've lost him. He said, I'm concerned with who will do my funeral rites, because this is the duty of the son. Take note in our time. This is the duty of the son, that when the father passes away, he has to step up to the funeral pyre and be the responsible person to perform the funeral activities. The eldest son. That's you. So he was saying, who will do this for me? So the deity, Gopinath, said, don't worry, I will do for you. Oh, all right then. So they prepared and did the puja and everything went normal. So when Govinda Ghosh eventually died, the funeral ceremony was arranged, and the durba grass used in the funeral ceremony was put into the hand of Gopinath. And Gopinath oversaw the funeral ceremony and the Shraddha rites. And every year on the disappearance day of Govinda Ghosh, 11 deities are engaged in performing the Shraddha ceremony rites for this deity, for this devotee, Govinda. So I was reminded of that in this amazing pastime here of Lord Chaitanya. So pleased the Lord was by this service of his devotee that he stepped forward in whatever way was necessary, carrying whatever they lack, preserving whatever they have. This is Krishna's promise to us in the Bhagavad Gita. So if we render our devotional service with determination, with fearlessness, with conviction, and without hesitation, we'll see that the Lord will take complete care of his devotee. Similarly, the pastime of Haridas Thakur in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. Actually, I was talking about this with some devotees the other day. This is an amazing street in Puri. There's an intersection, just like a regular intersection. On one corner of the intersection is the Samadhi of Haridas Thakur. And catty corner from there is the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he lived in Puri. It's now an ISKCON temple. If you go around the corner, just around the corner is the temple of Jagadananda Pandit and his personal deities. Beautiful mural on the wall of Jagadananda Pandit with the throwing down of the sandalwood elm. Right across the street from there is the temple of Balabhadra Bhattacharya, one of the 12 sannyas associates of Mahaprabhu. And two doors down from there is the temple of the Krishna Balaram deities of Chota Haridas. Maybe a 3 to 5 minute walk from there is the Tota Gopinath temple, and directly across from the Tota Gopinath temple are the sand dunes of Puri that Mahaprabhu played on, mistaking them for Govardhan Hill. That's a neighborhood to live in. I mean, we all have our nice neighborhoods here, but that's a neighborhood to live in. At any rate, so I was thinking how, you know, Haridas Thakur, such a apparently externally low birth, such a unqualified individual, but by dint of his attachment to the holy name, by dint of his determination and conviction, by dint of his fearlessness in taking up the holy name, by dint of his taking the holy name always without hesitation, he became the topmost acharya of the holy name. Mahaprabhu always relished his association. And in the process of his leaving this world, he was fortunate enough to be right there in front of Mahaprabhu. You always read so-and-so just passed away in the loving company of their spouse, husband, wife, whatever, their children, their grandchildren, and all of their friends. Well, Haridas Thakur's entire family was Mahaprabhu and his associates, and they were all there as he departed this world. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself personally took the body of Haridas Thakur to the ocean and bathed it in the ocean, and then dug the Samadhi Mandir with his own hand and placed Haridas Thakur's body there, performing the ceremonies himself. So here again, even in death, if we are diligent in the execution of our devotional service, the Lord will step forward and tend to our needs, whatever they may be. So this is how Narottam Das Thakur concludes his other book, Prarthana, in the last page here. He says this, Narottam Das Thakur concludes by praying, "Please hear me, O most merciful Lord. Please do not neglect me. The day I give up my body, being absorbed in your thoughts, please give me shelter at your lotus feet." So this is the prayer of a devotee, is that we do not want to be neglected by the Lord. We want to render service in this manner we've described, and then have the Lord be there for us at the end. And the Lord assures us that I will. This is his promise throughout all of his teachings. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, so many examples are there in the lives of the devotees who were dealing with the Lord and surrendered to him, that the Lord stepped in and did what was necessary to give them that shelter. So, very short purport. This was just some of the thoughts that came to my mind as I was reading through it. Thank you very much for your attention, your time. If anybody has any questions or comments, I'll try to address them. If not, then we can conclude another day of determined... Oh, yes.
We're talking about the hummingbirds and the night-blooming jasmine. It reminded me of a story that Shruti Rupa told me. She was cooking for Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, and she brought him a spray of the night-blooming jasmine. And he was sitting at his desk, and he kind of held it to his nose and sat back and said, "What is it?" She said, "It's night-blooming jasmine, Srila Prabhupada." "Oh, very nice." And so he kind of started really drifting off into a place that made her feel uncomfortable, like maybe I should leave. So she started paying her obeisances, and while she was down, he said, "What is it?" And so she got up right away and said, "It's night-blooming jasmine, Srila Prabhupada." "Mmm, very nice." And he kept smelling and relishing it, and then he started drifting off again. And so again she felt, "Well, pay my obeisances and leave." So while she was down, he said, "And what is this?" And she said, "This is night-blooming jasmine." He said, "Ah, this is Krishna." And she thought, he said, "Oh, this is like Krishna." And he said, "No, this is Krishna." And then he took that spray, and she found it under his pillow the night, the next morning. So the hummingbirds are not too far off.
Anything else? We'll finish there. Go about executing our day of devotional service with determination, conviction, fearlessness, and without hesitation.